It is a delight for me to be with you all today. I am very thankful to be able to bring to you this part of Paul's letter to 2 Corinthians because of the encouragement that it gives us. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's word now? I'm reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11, and then I'm going to turn over to chapter 11. It's not in your bulletins. But there Paul describes some of the things that he went through, and I think that'll be helpful to us. Well, this is God's word. Listen to it closely, even the introduction. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. And then turning over to chapter 11, in verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? This ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would sanctify your word to our hearts, that indeed we may live to the calling that you have placed upon us, that we may glorify Christ. Show us, Lord, where we fear or we doubt. Show us where we hold back so that we may trust you. And Father, we do pray that you be with the one who preaches. Guard my thoughts, guide my words, so that these your sheep are fed and Christ is exalted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Corinthians was troubleshooting, dealing with issues. 2 Corinthians addresses how we then live as we are in a right relationship with God. What is our purpose? It was probably written by Paul after he left Ephesus, but before his second visit. There's a theme that runs through this letter, and that is that we should not be trusting in ourselves, but we should be trusting in God who raises the dead. That's a good theme for us today. And you can actually see that probably in almost all of the chapters, while not explicitly expressed, yet there is that current that runs through that we go on, we move on because we trust him who raises the dead. Remember in Romans chapter 8, Paul writes that if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You see, that's what we hang on to. But let's look at this first part, the introduction. Often all of us will speed through the introductions. And we miss some sometimes important arguments. In fact, I would suggest to you that this sets the basis for 3 points. 1, God's calling upon us. 2, as we live that calling, the comfort we get, we receive. And 3, that which sustains us, and that is trusting God, even through what we go through. Notice what he says here. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. God determines the role that we have, particularly in the church, but actually in life. While Paul is using this as an argument against those who were false apostles, those who were false teachers who were challenging what he was teaching with the Corinthians, he is making this point that he is an apostle by God's will, God particularly setting him apart. But folks, don't just leave that for Paul. That's really for us. We are where we are by God's will. Paul's purpose was obedience to Christ in all of his life. But you and I could actually say, I'm retired by the will of God. Now, there's a few of you here that are also retired. Are you retired by the will of God for God's purpose? Or are you students for the will of God? Are you salesmen? Are you executives? In other words, the point is, do you see your life, not just your place here in this church, but your life as being in God's purpose for the end that Christ be glorified? That's a really healthy way for us to look at our lives, and no matter what our circumstances, a housewife by the will of God for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, if you can't take that attitude or that position, there's one or possibly 2 things you should do. First, you need to repent, because what you're doing for the wrong reasons. Or maybe that you're in something or in some place that you shouldn't be, and you need to then change that along with your repentance. But in everything that you and I do, it should be with that focus. I'm here, I'm doing this for the will of God, by the will of God, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now that will get you into some trouble, which I think really fits well then with, as he talks about comfort in the midst of difficulties. A second thing he says to them here, grace to you and peace from God the Father, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. two or three really precious things. For one thing, he reminds us that our fellowship, the grace and peace, is with the Father and the Son. In a sense, as you realize that, you understand the eternal life that you have already entered into. But the order of that is good too. You cannot have peace with God before you realize His grace to you. If you have not realized the depth of your sin and your need of God's mercy and God's grace, there is no way that you have a legitimate peace with Him. Because the peace really comes as we know that our guilt is taken away, that God's wrath is satisfied in that person and the work of Jesus Christ. So we actually thrive in that. This is something that we revel in. We revel in God's grace. And as Paul says in Romans 5, since we have peace with God, this is how we then conduct ourselves, even if society around us is falling apart. We have that peace that He gives. You know, and as you think about that grace, there's nothing common about that grace that Paul is speaking of here, because it is a grace that is perceived exclusively in our trusting in Jesus Christ. If a person is not trusting in Christ, they're trusting maybe in the fact that they're covenant children, or they're trusting in the fact that they have church membership. Some of you are old enough, you remember when you went to church, they gave you perfect attendance medals that you could hang down your coat. I never got one. But we don't trust in any of those things. We don't trust in just being nice people. Because if we read the scripture, we know that we're really not very nice. But we know we are forgiven. And we know that He's at work in us. And in trusting in that, then God gives us the strength we need. John Calvin wrote that, he observed about this letter to the Corinthians, that while it was a church with many evils, yet it was still called a church, even though they struggled. So that's where we start. As we look at our lives, you are who you are and where you are right now by the will of God. And you and I should be living according to an awareness that we're here by God. But as I said, that can bring us to difficulties. As you look in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction." Well, let me just stop at that point. You know, it's easy to seek comfort from others when we are in pain. Sometimes it's difficult for us to give others comfort. Maybe sometimes we might feel they deserve their discomfort for things they've done. Sometimes we're just too turned in on ourselves and our own troubles. And I know you've seen people where they're talking about something they're suffering and somebody's not giving them the response they want and they get offended. You know, don't you care about what I'm going through and such? You know, you see this, and this is sort of the way we are oriented. Paul's point is that God comforts us in our affliction so that we can endure the affliction and then give comfort to others. Think about that. Whatever you have gone through, if you have gone through it with the Lord, finding His help in the midst of it, He has brought you through that so that you in turn may come alongside someone else and give them the encouragement. If nothing else, point them to the Father and the faithfulness of God and the purposes of God. I am sure that all of you have heard somebody, and you may have even done it, where somebody has gone through a tragedy, and then here comes this person that says, well, you know, Scripture says God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And that is the last thing you wanted to hear at that point, or that they needed to hear. Think about it. If you're really going through a deep tragedy, it may be not to be reassured that God's going to work it to good, for good, but just to be pointed to the fact that God has not abandoned them. God is still there. God loves them. God will come alongside. They may be having a struggle just to know that God still cares about them or hears them. And you may be that instrument to show them the Lord has heard you. And I've just come alongside to weep with you or to pray for you. Just an aside on something. When you come into that circumstance where somebody, and you're going to say to somebody, well, I'll be praying for you. Please, at that moment, lead them in prayer. Take them to the Lord and pray for them as you would, as you say you would be praying for them. Let them hear you actually intercede. Then they'll be able to believe that you're really going to be praying for them. And it's good for you too, because it really forces you to put into mind, what things do I ask for this brother or sister? Just that are very practical. But see, that gives comfort. Just to stop and to pray with someone and to intercede for them before the Lord may be just the thing that their broken heart needs. Just, that's an aside there. Comforted to comfort others. Paul's specifically speaking of his own experience here. The purpose of his afflictions and his comfort was actually to take the gospel to others. I should be clear on something. If we're afflicted, does that mean we're suffering for Christ? If we're struck with a disease, does that mean I'm suffering for Christ? Or does it have to be where the authorities lock me up because I want to worship? I want to believe God. I want to tell others. Paul is specifically speaking of his life, which is all tied up with proclaiming the gospel. But the reality is that we will go through things in this life that may not be directly connected to the gospel. Someone here may get COVID-19. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe just pneumonia. Maybe cancer. Maybe something else. Where we are encouraged is that we see our lives in the hand of God, and we know that God is bringing us through this. Our affliction in that disease may not be anything in suffering for Christ, but you're living for Christ as you go through it. And God meets you there. And this is where you can then also be a comfort to others. Now, I couldn't go to China or North Korea or Indonesia, where the saints are being persecuted for their faith, if they're very vocal about it, and talk to them about encouragement. I haven't experienced that. But there may be other circumstances that you go through or I go through that where we can come alongside someone and encourage them in their walk with God. you know, as we, what we should understand is that God doesn't intend his gracious gifts to us to end with us, that it stops with us. Okay, now I feel better. We may find, you think about when you became a believer, a Christian, you were aware of God forgiving your sin. And you wanted to go tell others about what you had found, of being found by God. And you wanted to share with others. And some people may have said, you're nuts, you're just being religious, they passed you off. Some might have listened. But what you learned of God's grace, you wanted to share with others. And this is what we do. John Wesley had a prayer that really struck me. He said, let me not live to be useless. I've thought about that. Let me not retire to be useless. It comes back to God's purpose in our lives. We may be of help to others only as we ourselves have walked perhaps the same path that they have and endured some of those things. Verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. You know, the tendency is, if y'all remember Star Trek, Captain Kirk, beam me up, Scotty. Lord, take me home. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to go through this. God doesn't do that for us. But instead, God uses us as his arms, his help, his encouragement to others. He uses the things that we go through. He brings us through things so that we may be useful to those that we meet, spend time with. Your walk with Christ will be useful to the Lord as you live trusting him. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Peter, he writes in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. As I was reading that, it reminded me of something. I remember one person telling me, well, one fellow, it was actually a Roman Catholic friend who asked me, well, what is this about sharing in Christ's sufferings? I mean, so if I'm persecuted, I'm actually suffering like Christ did. No, that can't happen. There's two reasons. One, we're sinners. We're not qualified to share in his sufferings for our redemption. You cannot suffer so that somebody else may be redeemed. The second reason is that when Christ suffered and died, it was complete. When he said, it is finished, on the cross, that meant that all that God required for yours and my sin was satisfied. Our sharing and his sufferings is in our being identified with Christ, our clinging to Christ, our holding on to him. Indeed, to follow Christ is to follow him in his suffering, to be identified with him and hated because of him. Some of you have that in your families. You can't talk about your Lord because some of your family members get angry. They don't want to hear it. Remember, Jesus challenged his disciples as to whether they were prepared to drink his cup, the suffering that he was going to endure. Now, let me go on to my third point. How do we get through these things? We've sung about it already. It is trusting in God who raises the dead. Look with me again at verse 8. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, for the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul's saying that he and those who were with him were so afflicted that they actually thought they were going to die. And what got them through that? Well, let me just focus. God's purpose there was to bring them to a point that they did not trust themselves or anything that they could do, that they would wholly rely upon him. But think about where their lives were. And this is a challenge for us. Their lives were such that it was like it was on an open hand. And God could take it away from them if that was his will. So the only hope they had was not in a bargain. Some of you have been through war, have been in combat. You hear about foxhole conversions. Lord, get me out of this, and I promise I'll do such and such. Rarely happens that way. But their life were such is that they were willing to say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. You bring me through this. Can you live this way? Can you look at your life this way? That you come to the end of your resource. You haven't got a plan. You've not got a backup. You haven't... I don't want to panic people. Let's say the stock market just keeps tanking. That affects some people's retirements. Can you say, Lord, it's in your hands. It's okay. I'll wait upon you. That you rely only on him. You see, this is the power of living by the will of God, of doing what you do by God's will, because you're doing it for his purpose, by his strength, for his glory, not yours. This is the power, the comforting power, that brings us through afflictions where we can survive them because our eyes are fixed upon Jesus Christ. You think of Hebrews 12, a wonderful passage. Romans 12, Hebrews 12, two of my favorite chapters. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, and I'm not going to get it perfect, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, laying aside every encumbrance and sin which entangles, fixing our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. This is the calling that he places upon us. This is the bottom line, if you will. His confidence was only in him who raises the dead. One passage in 2 Corinthians 12. You're familiar with this one, where he talks about the thorn in his flesh and how he prayed that God would remove that thorn in whatever it was. This is really instructive for us. Verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Read this verse to those who tell you you haven't got enough faith, you're not praying hard enough. Take them to this passage. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That God's power would be made perfect through the weakness of my flesh, your flesh. That he could be seen. So that as you or I open our mouths, what we speak of is what Christ has done. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Galatians 2:20. Some of you all like that verse. Do you believe it? There's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by, I think it's the power of God, or it's the grace of God. Do we really die to ourselves and live unto him? You look at verses 10 and 11. He teaches us to trust him so that the praise is given to him. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You must also help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. There is the work of intercessory prayer. Interesting aside there. All of y'all know putting on the armor of God in Galatians. Do you know what you do with that armor after you've put it on? You pray. Go back and read that. You'll see that's where he calls them to be praying for them. Putting on the armor just so you can pray. That's where our battle, our warfare starts. Paul is anchored in the Lord, yet he relies on the prayers of fellow believers. So our supplications to God, our prayers, we express and we promote the communion of the saints. The brother this morning, as he led you in the congregational prayer, that was what was coming out. The needs of the saints. And the end of that is to lead us to a joy because of God's goodness, a joy in God. There may be sorrow, and yet there is that joy, there is that peace, there is that comfort, and ultimately there will be that thanksgiving given unto God as we come to him. How do you look at your lives this morning? Your calling of God. Are you where you are intentionally because of the will of God. Second, do you find comfort then in whatever difficulty you face from God's provision, from trusting Him? Are you willing to let God use you to come alongside others and be an encouragement? And then third, I would ask you, do you trust Him and His word? I will address that tonight. God's yes to His promises and our amen. But as you and I live, do we really trust Him then? Because it is He who has raised the dead, who raised Christ Jesus, and is at work in us to bring us, or to bring that work to completion. Think about that as you partake of the elements this morning. You take of the sacrament. It is meant to be a means of grace where we are renewed with the knowledge of what God has done to redeem us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I prayed at the beginning that you would sanctify your word to our hearts, that you would show us where we doubted, where we feared. I need to add to that where we are self-reliant, where we are independent of you, and where we are perhaps indifferent to those around us. Show us these things. Give us no peace, Lord, until we find our peace in you and in your promises, in your grace. And then, Father, it is our prayer that you would use us to share that comfort, that peace with others. We ask these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.